Surf Music Comrades. I'm Lady Reverb, and this is SurfGuitar101.com's podcast number 11. In this show, I'll be playing you a whole bunch of classic surf tunes that were all specially selected for us by the Baron Shimmy Shivers, also known as Norman Cabrera of the Ghastly Ones. And a little later on, we'll finally be listening to the rest of the interview that Warren Binder recorded with Baron Shivers, which was featured in our previous podcast. Additionally, I'll also be playing you some truly awesome surf music out of Norway and Iceland, including a track from a brand new CD entitled Savage Iceland, from amazingly talented one-man surf band, Burt Rocket. So to start things off on an energetic note in our brand new year, here's High Voltage from Jim Messina and the Jesters. We'll be right back. That last song was Night Rider from Richard Anthony Mansour, who, of course, is none other than Dick Dale, the man responsible for the invention of surf music. Starting things off in that set was High Voltage from Jim Messina and the Jesters. That's off their 1964 album, The Dragsters. After that, we heard driving guitars from world-renowned and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, The Ventures. And the third song in that set was Jetstream from Wichita, Kansas band, The Breakers. That's off of a compilation album entitled Surfing in the Midwest, Volume 3. All right, next up we're going out of control with The Crossfires.
Scratch, take eight.
started off there with Out of Control by The Crossfires. That was from their classic 1963 album of the same name. Following The Crossfires, we heard a song called Scratch from Eddie and the Showmen, featuring the amazing guitarist Eddie Bertrand. And that's the band that Bertrand formed just after leaving the Bel Airs. After that, we heard a song originally written and performed by The Shadows, The Rise and Fall of Fingal Bunt. That particular version there was from PJ and the Galaxies, and that's the band that the great Paul Johnson formed just after leaving the Bel Airs. Finally, we heard Cat on a Hot Foam Board, a tune made back in 1963 by LA band The New Dimensions. Alright, now it's time to resume the interview that Warren Binder conducted with the Ghastly Ones' fantastic drummer, Baron Shimmy Shivers, a.k.a. Norman Cabrera. Please stay tuned.
Going back to Target Dracula, that was the first one that came out on your own record label, and you also had Dave Klein in the band for the first time.
That's correct, yeah. Dave, we were really, really happy to have Dave become a permanent member of the band, because not only is he a really great, awesome musician, so he's just a really cool guy and has a lot of great ideas for like song arrangements and production and the guy could play virtually any instrument. I mean, he's a drummer, he's a guitar player, he's a great bass player, and he's an amazing organ player. So, and he played organ on our recordings before he was actually in the band. So anytime you hear an organ on one of our early recordings, it's Dave, even though he wasn't a permanent member of the band. Once he became available, he wasn't in a band when we did just before Target Dracula, and so we said, hey, Dave, join our band. You know, we really, really want you to be in this band. And he said yes, and we were just, you know, thrilled as thrilled can be, because, you know, it was just so cool to have him, you know, in a band, because he's a good friend and a great musician and, you know, an amazing asset to, you know, to have, someone in your band.
You mentioned the songs you guys would cover early on and the ones that sort of were inspirational in the beginning. Were there any bands that were contemporaries at that time you guys were really into?
Yeah, as far as like in the surf genre, I know that we liked Man or Astro Man, we liked Satan's Pilgrims, we liked like the Finks, but we also liked, you know, stuff like the Witch Doctors and like me personally, like the Gravedigger Five, and you know, I had. The influence to do a quote-unquote surf band didn't entirely stem from surf, you know? It was sort of like, in my mind anyway, and I guess in the mind of Garrett, I suppose, too, it was kind of an amalgam of a lot of different things, even though it was primarily a surf sound. And when you listen to it, it's definitely surf. It's a reverb-driven sound. But I felt like I wanted to work in influences of, like, the Cramps and the Misfits and all these things, and I don't think that necessarily comes through, but at least in my mind, that's what I was kind of hoping for, you know. But, you know, I think we're probably a little more straightforward surf than something like the Cramps, for sure, you know. But still, I love that stuff, you know. That stuff was great. But yeah, there was other bands of that era that we really liked. It seemed like that was sort of it was peaking a lot right around that time, and Lee Joseph was doing these Dionysus Demolition Derbies, you know, which were really great. A lot of amazing bands, you know, the Boss Martians and all these guys, and the astronauts from Germany, like the current, you know, from the astronauts from that era, not the 60s ones, obviously. But those guys, we played a show with those guys, and those guys were amazing, like, absolutely amazing. You know, so we loved all of that that was happening at that time, and we sort of like came out of that same little moment in time, you know, it seemed like all this stuff was happening, and we ended up playing some of those Demolition Derbies, and we played a lot of those Ralph Carrera Tiger Mask shows too, which were at the time felt like it was almost kind of part of being like this burgeoning punk rock scene somehow. Like it felt like this grassroots, like, wow, this is gonna explode. But it never quite did. It sort of kind of fizzled out. It felt like it was right on the cusp of exploding. But in order for a scene to really make crossover into the mainstream, there has to be a band that really defines the scene, you know, whatever, whoever that may be, you know. The punk rock scene, you know, had the Sex Pistols, you know. The surf scene in the 60s the figurehead for that was Dick Dale, you know. In the 50s, you know, the figurehead for that was Chuck Berry, you know, and then Elvis, you know. So every scene, every little burgeoning scene has its figurehead that everybody latches onto, and I feel like during that era, there wasn't a band never really truly emerged. It became that crossover. Maybe Man or Astro Man was probably the closest one. Would you say? I don't know. You know,
make a go of it.
Yeah, Man or Astro Man probably had the widest appeal, and they toured probably more than any of the other bands of that ilk. And I really liked their records. I thought they were great. You know, so. But again, it felt like right as that was about to explode, it fizzled out just as quickly as it started to feel like it was rising.
So you guys have definitely taken sort of a creepy monster movie approach to the not just the image and the artwork and everything, but also the music itself. Where do you tend to draw that influence from?
Well, I think like sort of like the spooky surf sound, like, you know, everybody immediately thinks of like Frankenstein and the Ghouls and those records and stuff. And those records are really fun, and I definitely really like them. Or like the Deadly Ones, you know, and they're fun, and those are studio musicians, you know, playing on those songs. And aside from like the goofy laughing and stuff like that, you know, like the diabolical laughing, the songs aren't particularly scary sounding. But I really think the definitive spooky songs were done by the Ventures, like Vamp Camp and the Swinging Creeper and Fuzzy and Wild and the Cave. And songs like that, those songs sound really evil, you know, and really, that's to me is, I think, the origin of Spooky Surf. It's like, naturally, the Ventures, you know, who were the definitive instrumental band of all time, you know, stumbled upon this idea, and not exactly sure why they would have done it, but, you know, the Monster Mash, you know, was certainly a huge hit in 1961 or whatever it was, and I think monster movies and Famous Monsters magazine and Creature Features and shows like that that I used to watch when I was a kid. I mean, all that stuff all originated in the early 60s was really when it exploded. And I think the Ventures sort of like, you know, took a lot, maybe because they mixed up their genres so much on their albums. They didn't really have, even like the Ventures in Space record isn't really like a space record. It's more like an Exotica record in a way. It has like elements of Exotica, elements of spacey stuff, but then it has one of the greatest Spooky Surf songs ever done, He Never Came Back. I mean, that song, if there is one song that would define Spooky Surf, it's He Never Came Back by the Ventures. And I think that's the stuff that we drew our inspiration from, and combine that with you know, Screaming Lord Sutch, which was one of my favorites. And, you know, at the time that we started, you know, Man or Astro Man was doing the sci-fi surf thing, and we were like, let's do the spooky surf thing, you know. And Garrett and I dreamed up the looking like you know, characters from a Hammer movie. With the top hats and the capes and stuff, and he did a drawing of it, of like what our costumes should be. We were like, that's it, that's, you know, we're the ghastly ones.
Cool. So you guys recorded a new vinyl only EP, right?
Yeah, correct, yeah. It's called Gears and Ghoulthinks. And I really, really wanted to do, last year we wanted to do, I personally wanted to put out a whole brand new album. And it didn't happen, mainly because, again, going back to Garrett and I's movie schedule, makes it really, really hard to get together constantly and write and record songs. And not to mention, we were trying to do a lot of touring, too, because we were getting offered to go really, really cool places like Japan, you know, and then this year we went to England. And so I've been wanting to put out something new for a while, and we have demos for about 8 new songs, but only 4 of them had been recorded. But they were just the basic tracks, you know, like they were unfinished. They were sitting around, and we were like, well, is you know, 2009 gonna go by without us putting out anything new again? I was like kind of bummed out about that. I'm like, we have these songs, they're essentially in the can, we just need to finish them. And so I pushed really, really hard to finish these songs, despite the fact that everyone's schedule is really, really busy. But I was like, guys, we gotta finish this song. I really wanna do an EP for this year. So everyone worked their butts off, and we finished these songs, so we figured this will be sort of like a little teaser for a full-length album in 2010, you know, so that's how the Gears and Ghoulthinks thing came to be. All 4 songs won't be on the the full release next year. Probably only two of them, the two that are on the A side. The two on the B side are almost kind of novelty songs, and you'll know what I mean when you get the record. They're sort of like it's for lack of a better term, it's a concept album. Not really. It's basically like back in the 60s, Capitol Records did these Ed Roth, LPs. They were like Mr. Gasser and the Weirdos, and I thought it'd be really cool, to do like a Mr. Gasser and the Weirdos type album. But I don't know if I'd want to do a full album like that, but I thought it'd be cool to do an EP like that. So we got the Piz to do the art, because Piz actually used to work for Ed Roth. Piz did this amazing Ed Roth style combined with Piz artwork that went really well with the theme of Gears and Ghoulfinks, So the song Think Think, which is on the B side, is very, very much like one of those goofy Ed Roth kind of novelty songs, but we try to maybe not make it as goofy, so we add like kind of like a Trashman sort of Surf and Bird kind of weirdness to it as well, like a little more edgy and strange, like Surf and Bird kind of sound. But the songs on side A are a song called Gargoyle, which is very much like a Dick Dale style, heavy reverb double picking song with a lot of drum fills. And then the second song on side A is a song called Raiders Coach, and it's a vocal tune which kind of has like a Paul Revere and the Raiders kind of vibe. It's kind of inspired by their car, the Raiders Coach.
Oh, cool. And you guys also played this year's SurfGuitar101.com.
The SurfGuitar 101 convention was just really, really fun, man. A real treat. I mean, it was like, it's like a high school reunion with people that you don't know, but you feel like you know them. It was really, it had that feeling to it. It's like these guys that I had heard about or kind of peripherally know through other people talking about them, or these bands that I've heard about, and it all converging into one place is just a really, really great vibe, And Jeff, right, who had the idea of doing that initially, because I know Brian obviously runs the site, but where did that originate from? Do you know?
I think it was Jeff and Kyle from the Verbtones.
Jeff and Kyle from the Verbtones? So
maybe Kyle had the initial idea, but I don't remember.
Yeah. But anyway, big thumbs up to Jeff and company and Brian and everybody, for doing this and flying out from all over the United States to for this, like, Surf Love Fest. It's like Surf Woodstock or something, it was really, really fun, and to see all these cool bands, and then guys like Paul Johnson, go up and play guitar, and then they're just hovering around, and Jim Frias of the Nocturnes, you go up and just sit next to him and start talking to him, and Paul was sitting there for quite some time, he was selling his merch on one side of the room, and I was selling my merch on the other side of the room, and I was like, I'm going to go talk to Paul Johnson for a while and just ask him a bunch of questions. And I asked him a bunch of stuff that I wanted to know, and he was so cool about, answering all these really great, he gave me all these great answers of to things that I was like, always wondered about.
Is there anything else you want to add, or?
I just want to say thanks to Brian and company, and thanks to you, Warren, for interviewing me, and Jeff and all the other people on SG101, and it's been really cool to get to know some of you guys that I only see usually typing. I only see what represents you is your avatar and your writing, and it's just cool to get to know you guys in person, and it's just very, very cool, and keep doing the good work.
Thanks for taking the time to do this. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, man.
Wow, that was an awesome interview. Thank you so much to Warren, and I really want to say a special thanks to Norm, both for this interview and for putting together the music for this show. So let's just get right back into it. It's time now to get everybody up with the classic sound of the amazing Fender 4.
Bye.
We started off there with Everybody Up by the Fender Four, featuring the legendary surf guitarist Randy Holden. That was followed by a 1964 tune from the famous Frankie and Annette movie, Bikini Beach. The name of the band there was the Pyramids. And you know, these guys were famous for coming on stage wearing Beatles mop top wigs. And then sometime during the gig, they would lift them up to reveal the fact that they all had totally shaved heads. Very cool. After that, we heard Surfer's Blues from the Journeymen. That comes off of the Rare Surf Volume 1 compilation. And by the way, the Journeymen's drummer there was Artie Fisher, who many of you may know later joined forces with Paul Johnson to form the band PJ and Artie. And finally, the last song in that set was Point Panic from the Surfaris. That's a tune from 1963, and it was their follow-up to their monster hit Wipeout. Incidentally, that was the only other tune the Surfaris ever did that managed to reach the Billboard charts. Okay, time for one more set of classic tunes. Right now, let's take a journey to the stars with the Nocturnes.
Dynamic Sumbarashi.
Okay, that was Bulldog by The Ventures. That's off their legendary Live in Japan 1965 album. And you know, I think that's a must-have for Insto fans. It really captures the band at their zenith. Starting things off there was Journey to the Stars from the Nocturnes. That's off of the Rare Surf Volume 2 compilation. Following the Nocturnes was the Avenger 6 song, Avenger Stomp. That was from their Real Cool Hits album from 1966, which I think may make it among the last of their first wave surf releases. Finally, we heard Scattershield from the Surfaris, from their album Hit City 64. By the way, I really love the reverb kicks in that tune. Alright, surf comrades, that was the last of the classic songs in the show, with time enough to spare for one more set of modern, truly fantastic surf tunes. In this next set, I'll be playing two songs each from a couple of bands that put out really great releases in 2009. First up is The Mobsman with Cicero Comet. Started off the set with Norwegian band The Mobsmen and their great tune Cicero Common, followed by the song Flamenco. Both of those songs are from the album Cellarat Syndicate that was put out by these awesome trad surf rockers this past May. After that, we heard two songs from totally amazing one-man Icelandic surf band Burt Rocket's brand new CD. The first Burt Rocket tune there was Mr. Motor, and the last song I played in that set was the title track from the album, which is called Savage Iceland. And if you're wondering why I felt the need to play both of these bands back-to-back, it's because Burt Rocket also played organ for the Mobsmen just before he moved to Iceland. If listeners are interested in purchasing either or both of these discs, they are indeed available at Double Crown Records or from CD Baby. Well, that's it for this podcast. Remember, if you love playing or simply listening to surf music, we're hoping you'll stop by the Surf Guitar 101 website and join our forum. The web address is www.surfguitar101.com. It's the internet's premier instrumental surf music forum. I hope you enjoyed listening to these selections and to the interview that Warren did with the Baron Shimmy Shivers. For the final track of this show, I'm going to be playing you a great Ghastly Ones tune entitled Lonesome Undertaker. Until next time, surf music comrades, this has been Lady Reverb, who hopes you'll keep your music alive, the love in your heart, and that reverb tank in good working order.